typically when we necropsy whales, we cut them open, and there's a lot of internal organs and there's blood on the beach and stuff.
But because this whale ended up on Ocean Beach, which has a steady stream of visitors, Stern and his three researchers needed to do their work with a minimum of mess. So they carefully cut three slices through the blubber of the whale.
And pulled the blubber up over the top of the whale using ropes.
They fastened the ropes into the sand, and Stern crawled inside with a knife and a flashlight and started getting the tissue samples he needed. But then something weird happened. The flap of blubber had fallen back over, closing Stern inside the whale.
And the only thing I could hear was the sound of laughter from my three friends who were outside of the whale.
Stern started panicking.
It was getting dark outside, and I was afraid the tide was going to come in or something like that. I was afraid my friends were going to leave me, you know, that sort of thing.
Stern started carving himself free from the inside out while his friends started cutting from the outside. It was 10 minutes before he could crawl out. He had to throw away his clothes after that. When Stern isn't escaping from the inside of whales, he's studying them. He's a world-famous expert on minke whales, and he gives names to the ones he tracks.
One I named after Linda Ronstadt when I was studying minkes in Monterey Bay. Johnny Rotten is a minke whale up in the San Juan Islands of Washington that we've seen since 2005.
But it was an unnamed whale that first got him interested in the species, back when he was just 8 years old.
My dad was a ship's captain, and he was away, and I was home alone watching the news, and they broke into the Beverly Hillbillies to report that a ship out of San Francisco was struck and disabled by a whale, and it was my dad's ship. I knew it was huge, but the idea that something could hit a ship and disable it was just fascinating to me.
That whale was killed, like many others who hit or get hit by ships. The most recent dead whale that was found in Alameda was struck by a ship. Right now, Stern is working on a computer model that simulates whale behavior and ship traffic to try to decrease the amount of these collisions. As for the increase in dead whales that have washed ashore in the past few months, Stern says there's not really a clear reason. It could simply be a function of ocean currents and wind patterns.
It's not unusual that that many whales die. It's unusual that that many whales wash up on beaches where people see them.
5 to 10% of the whale population dies every year.
I mean, that's just a fact of life. Most of them, when they die, they quite likely sink to the bottom of the ocean, where they provide a really neat ecosystem for these creatures that live down there.
But there could be more serious things going on, too. One possibility is a huge bloom of toxic algae that stretches from California to Alaska. Since May, 30 dead whales have been found in the Gulf of Alaska. While marine mammals may not eat the algae directly, they can die if they eat smaller organisms that have ingested it.
It's likely that that has been around for a while, offshore.
Blooms of algae are usually caused by high ocean temperatures, and right now, the Pacific Ocean is really warm, 5 degrees warmer than average.
You've heard of El Nino. This is looking to be like a major El Nino forming this year. But there's also this weird anomaly in the North Pacific. It's called the blob.
Yes, that's what scientists call it, the blob.
Which is this big puddle of super warm water extending up into the Gulf of Alaska. Nobody's really sure as to why that is happening.
Some scientists believe the blob is an effect of climate change.
Water can take up a lot of heat without changing temperature. So for water to change temperature to get warmer, it has to have absorbed a lot of heat.
But even with this big hot blob of water sitting along the coast, there's still cold water even closer to shore. That cold water is caused by something called upwelling. When the wind blows offshore,
the surface of the ocean is going offshore, and that water has to be replaced by something. So it's replaced by cold, nutrient-rich water from deep in the ocean.
Anchovies love this nutrient-rich water, which means anchovy-eating whales, dolphins, and porpoises come closer to the shore. Upwelling has been strong recently, and it's one reason why surfers, swimmers, and boaters are seeing more marine mammals when they're out on the water. This is happening on the coast, but also inside the bay, which is where John Stern goes every month to photograph and count harbor porpoises. Sometimes he goes out in a boat, but today he's observing them from the shore in Sausalito.
I'm holding my camera here, and I'm hoping that these porpoises will surface close enough that'll allow me to take a photograph of them.
While people snap photos of the Golden Gate Bridge, Stern stands in the wind underneath it, pointing his camera at the water below.
You can see, you know, these porpoises kind of in the foreground and San Francisco in the background. That's just so cool.
He'll compare photos from today to others in a database
to see if the porpoises are ones we've identified previously or are new visitors to San Francisco Bay.
The bay is full of them. Stern says he once saw a school of 25, and he's counted up to 100 in an hour. This is really big news. From the 40s until the early 2000s, porpoises didn't come inside the Golden Gate at all, mainly because of an underwater net that was put up under the bridge during World War II to prevent submarine attacks. Also, the bay used to be really dirty, so Stern says it's a good sign the porpoises are back.
It's an indication that the coastal waters in San Francisco Bay are more productive.
Thanks in part to an ongoing human effort to keep the bay clean.
There's the porpoises, right out there. See that, right at that shear zone.
The bay and the coastal ocean are connected, which is why Stern thinks it's just as important to study and record sightings of porpoises playing in the bay's currents as it is to note the dead whales that wash up this year. He says we can look at large animals like whales as barometers of the ecologies they live in.
Simply because they're so big. When there's a die-off event, you can't miss it.
And Stern says this is kind of a big deal.
Because this is our backyard. What goes on in our coastal waters affects us. What goes on in the bay affects us.
Stern's research shows how the ocean connects us all, from the smallest algae to the largest whale. For Cross Currents, I'm Angela Johnston.